بسم الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet, his noble and pure family, and his noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. This is the explanation of the 40 hadith collected by Imam al-Nawawi and explained by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And we have reached the point where there is the explanation concerning the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what does that really mean and what does it really constitute. And the last thing we were talking about is that the belief, what is the correct belief in Allah's names and attributes, and that is part of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the belief in Allah comprises four matters: the belief in His existence, the belief in Him being the only Lord, and Ar-Rabb, which means to single Allah alone in Lordship. And the third thing is to single Him alone as the true God worthy of being worshipped. And the fourth is to believe in Allah's names and attributes, affirming what He affirmed for himself in his book or in the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as best fitting to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh was talking about the innovators in this respect, and he said that these innovators, who are in opposition to the way of the righteous predecessors, did not fulfill the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we say, we don't say that they are non-believers. No, there is no doubt that they are believers. However, they didn't fulfill the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-imanu billah. And the thing which they missed out of these four categories that you have heard is the fourth one, which is the belief in Allah's names and attributes. They didn't fulfill that one, and they really are wrong. Because they were in opposition to the way of the righteous predecessor, and their way is in no doubt is a way of misguidance. The person committing such wrong, we cannot judge him with misguidance until the evidence is established upon him. And when that is established and he insists on his wrong and his misguidance, then he is truly an innovator in that which he differed concerning the truth. In that which he differed concerning the truth, although he may be, as the Shaykh said, وَإِنْ كَانَ سَلَفِيًّا فِي مَا سِوَاهُ, although he may be a Salafi in other aspects. So accordingly, we cannot say, describe him that he is absolutely an innovator, nor we can say that he is absolutely a Salafi. Rather, we say that we describe him as being a Salafi in that which he was in agreement with the Salaf's way, and an innovator in that in which he was differing with them or opposing them. And from the names and attributes where there was khilaf, disagreement, is the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam on his image, or in his own image. And there was a lot of dispute, and people were loud concerning this matter, and in their discussions, how could it be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam in his own image? Some people altered this in a disliked manner, the meaning, and they said that the meaning of the hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam in the image of Adam, Allah created Adam in the image of Adam, and the Shaykh said, Allah al-Musta'an, yani in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we seek help, and he said, Rahimahullah, هل يمكن, is it possible for the most eloquent of mankind and most in advice that he intends in the pronoun in the hadith to be the pronoun of the created, meaning Adam, that is Allah created Adam in the image, meaning the image of Adam. He said this is yani is not possible. Why? I mean, such a meaning. That is because every creature is created in his created image, in his created image. And thus, just a second, please. Okay, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Inshallah, we continue the discussion. We reached the point where the Shaykh rahimahullah is mentioning that it is not possible that the meaning of the hadith in which Allah, in which the Prophet said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam in his own image, he said it is not possible that the meaning refers to Adam, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, yani this refers to Adam's image himself, yani that because that yani the meaning, the it is incorrect to say that the meaning is Allah created Adam in the image of Adam. Allah created Adam in the image of Adam. He said this is not possible because every creature is created in his created image. And then in this case, if this would be the meaning, then there is no merits or excellence for Adam above others from his creation. And therefore such a meaning would be nonsense. And do you know, then the Shaykh asked the following question, do you know why they resorted to this, yani, he said, this despicable and disliked interpretation? They said, he said that because, according to them, if you would say that it is that the image refers to Allah Azza wa Jal, then in this case you would resemble Allah to his creatures, in the sense that the image of something is identical to it, and in this case it will be what is called tamthil, likening of Allah to the creation. However, our answer, the Shaykh said, rahimahullah, in response, we say to this, if you would give the text its proper due right of understanding, then you would say that Allah created Adam in his own image, and his would refer to Allah. However, there is nothing like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone says, now give us an example that we could be convinced in this respect, that something or a thing is in the image of something, yet not resembling it or identical to it or like it. We say that the answer for this was affirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said the following concerning the first group of people who will enter paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first group of people who will enter paradise will be like the moon. Will be like the moon, meaning in full moon. Laylat al-Badr. And meaning glittering. So do you really believe in this respect that those who will enter from this first group of people who will enter paradise will be like the moon from every aspect and every angle? Or do you believe that they are in the human form, however
in the glittering and the beauty and the rounding of the face and the like, they are like the moon. So it is not from every angle. So if you would take by the first meaning, if you are convinced by the first meaning that those from the first group who will enter paradise are like the moon from every angle, then this would necessitate that they don't have eyes, nor do they have mouths. And if you say by the other saying, then the problem is resolved. And hence, it is not necessary that a thing being in the image of something else, that it is 100% from every angle, it is like it from every angle, or resemble it from every angle. So what is important here is, the Sheikh added, also he added, and this is a benefit which I found, alhamdulillah, in his explanation of Surah Al-Kahf, and we can add it here because it is relevant. He said, and another angle as to the issue of the image is, in his image, it means then, in his image in which Allah chose, in his image in which Allah chose. So in this way, this is the other meaning. He said this is another angle to the hadith. Adding the image of Adam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adding it by way of magnification and honoring. And this came in his tafsir, rahimahullah, of Surah Al-Kahf, page 60 and page 61. And we went over this some time ago. So what's important here, he said, that the issue of the sifat, of the attributes, is a great matter, and it's also a grave matter, and no one can really be safe from falling into destruction in this issue unless he follows the way of the righteous predecessors, affirm what Allah affirmed for himself and negate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated from himself, and then in this case you will be safe. So do you really go and indulge in a matter so deep so that you may be absorbed totally and go into obstination in it? The answer is, don't go deep in this respect. And Imam Malik, may Allah's mercy be upon him, when he was asked about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa, the Most Beneficent ascended the throne, when he was asked, Kayfa istawa, how did he arose? He bowed his head and began sweating because of the heavy burden which he have heard, and because, on the other hand, of his magnification of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then he lifted his head up and said, Al-Istiwa'u ghayru majhul, ascending is something which is not known, which is ghayru majhul, is something known. It is not something that it is not known, meaning it is known in the linguistic aspect, في اللغة العربية, in the Arabic language. You say استوى على كذا, meaning he rose above something, and واستقر and settled. This is the Arabic meaning. And everything that came in the Quran and in the Sunnah and in the language of the Arabs is that استوى, the term and the verb استوى, if it is followed by the term على, by the article على, then it would mean al-ulu. It will mean transcendence, rising over. Then he added, Imam Malik, وَالْكَيْفُ غَيْرُ مَعْقُولُ, however, as to the manner, it is something beyond comprehension. We cannot comprehend it. meaning we cannot comprehend the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arose above His arsh in our own intellect. However, إِنَّمَا طَرِيقُ ذَلِكَ السَّمْعُ. However, the way, the correct way as to understand this is to follow the texts. And then he added, rahimahullah, Imam Malik, in his response, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَاجِبٌ. And having belief in this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arose above His arsh or ascended His arsh, it's dutiful, it's binding to believe in that. Of course, in the best way that fits His Majesty. And then he added in his response, وَالسُؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعًا. As to asking about it, meaning about the manner, is an innovation. Because such a question was not asked by the Sahaba, by the companions, may Allah be pleased with them. And they are more keen than us in terms of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who answered, meaning Muhammad, peace be upon him, is more knowledgeable than us concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And despite all of these facts, such a question was not arisen. So, shouldn't this be, therefore, be sufficient to us? Shouldn't the fact that this was sufficient to them be sufficient to us? The answer is yes. It is obligatory on the believer, on the Muslim, to accommodate what was sufficient to the righteous predecessors, and thus doesn't ask. Then Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah added in his response, مَا أَرَاكَ إِلَّا مُبْتَدِعًا. I don't think that except that you are an innovator. You want to corrupt the deen of the people. Then he ordered him out from the mosque, meaning the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he didn't say, Imam Malik, he didn't say, well, by Allah, I can't really drive him out of the mosque, because I fear that I may fall under the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:114. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. And who is more unjust than those who forbid that Allah's name be glorified and mentioned much in Allah's mosques? So Imam Malik didn't say that I can drive him out, fearing to fall under such a threat in this verse. Because this person didn't enter there to remember the name of Allah. Rather, he entered in order to corrupt the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of their creed. And such people should be prevented. Meaning here that no burden of this verse will fall on Imam Malik because he ordered him out, because his person was, may corrupt the creeds of the Muslims. So, if it is the case now that we know that the one who eats garlic and onions should be prevented from going to the mosque, legally prevented, then how about those who corrupt the creed of people? It's more deserving that they should be prevented. By Allah, indeed, however, many people are heedless regarding this matter. Nevertheless, this matter is a great matter. However, I caution you not to deeply indulge concerning the names and attributes and ask about it where there is no need for that. The Some people say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qualified with having fingers. The distorters, however, say that Allah does not have fingers. And they refer to the hadith that the hearts of the children of Adam are between two fingers from the fingers of the most beneficent. They say that this means the perfect authority and perfect running of affairs. Subhanallah. We don't say this, Ya Sayyid. Sayyid, we don't say this general statement that you mentioned, okay? I will explain to you later, inshallah. So, subhanallah, far Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above what they say. Do you know? أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ? Are you more knowledgeable, or Rasulullah, or the Messenger of Allah, is more knowledgeable? They negated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qualified with the fingers because they said that affirming such attribute necessitates a resemblance to the creation. Ya Sayyid, I need no explaining, mashallah. Tayyib, why you are here? I was asking you if you could just wait to clear that to you, inshallah. If you do so, that will be nice. So they negated. I see. They negated the fingers because they thought that affirming the fingers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitates tamthil. Can we give him a nice shout out, please? Or he already left? He ran away? Yeah, this is an application here, just like Imam Malik's. No problem. So they negated the fingers because they think that affirming them necessitates resemblance, meaning necessitates the likeness of Allah to His creatures. So look at this important statement now the Shaykh is making. Please think it deeply. So he said, فَمَثَّلُوا أَوَّلًا وَعَطَّلُوا ثَانِيًا. They resembled first, meaning in their thought, and then they negated next. So thus they combined both likeness or resemblance and then negation. You know why? When they negated the attributes, when they negated these attributes, because they are thinking of Allah from the beginning. They're thinking of the creatures from the very beginning, and that's why the Shaykh said فَمَثَّلُوا أَوَّلًا. They resembled first, they likened first, and then they negated, because they were focusing on the creature in the very beginning in their thought. When they heard such attributes like the fingers, like the hands and everything, the first thing on their thought was the human. So they made resemblance from the very beginning, and that led them to what? To negate the attribute. They said, no, it can't be. Because they were thinking from the creature side. Is that clear, inshallah, to you? Is that clear, inshallah, to you? MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. This is one group. This is one group. Others came and said, concerning this hadith, others came and said that the hearts of the children of Adam are between two fingers from the fingers of the most beneficent, and he took the miswak, you know, the siwak, between his fingers and said, between two fingers from the fingers of the most beneficent. Is this permissible? Al-jawab, it is not permissible. The answer, it is not permissible. Alaykum as-salam. Do you know, first of all, do you know that the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are five? Do you know, for you to come and do this and take the miswak and put the miswak, the siwak between your fingers and do the same? Do you know that the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are five: thumb, index, middle, ring finger so called, and then the little? Do you know? Do you have knowledge of that? And do you know that the hearts between two fingers of the most beneficent, are they between the thumb or the index, or between the thumb and the middle, or between the thumb and the ring finger, or between the little one and the thumb? كيف تقول على الله ما لا تعلم? How come you say of Allah that which you don't know? The like of those should be disciplined, because they say of Allah that which they have no knowledge of. So they argued in response and they said, well, but didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever all healer, all seer, he put his thumb and put his index on his eye and on his ear respectively, as in the hadith reported by Abu Dawood, we say yes. However, you are not Rasulullah. You see the difference? We say yes, but you are not Rasulullah for you to do this. And then what is intended by the Prophet ﷺ, by the Prophet ﷺ's putting of his fingers the way he did, is to signify the reality of hearing and the reality of seeing only. Not more than that. And therefore I repeat, the Shaykh added, that the issue of the attributes is a very great matter. And therefore watch lest you deviate and your feet may go to destruction. The matter is very, very difficult. Others also come and say, concerning the saying of Allah in Surah Az-Zumar, 39:67, وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Okay, there it is. And on the day of resurrection, the whole of the earth will be grasped by his hand, and the heavens will be rolled up in his right hand. طيب. You find him when he said this ayah, takes by his hand, holding on something, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. We seek refuge in Allah from that. This is one people, this is one type. The other type of people, they say that his grasp, meaning it is all under his authority. And of course, the difference between the two is very great. So, على كل حال, nevertheless, I repeat, the Shaykh added, rahimahullah, so be careful concerning the issue of the attributes, that you indulge in something whereby the righteous predecessors did not indulge in, meaning deeply. And here I just want to remind you that it doesn't mean that we don't affirm what Allah affirmed for himself. Of course, this is what the Shaykh started in the very beginning. We affirm that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed for himself, and on the tongue of his messenger, and in the best way that fits his majesty, and without any kind of distortion, without any kind of assigning a manner, nor without likening or resembling. Some of the scholars have said a very good statement, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Anyone which is not suffice for him that which was suffice for the companions, then may Allah doesn't make it suffice for him. Because of the graveness of the matter. Then we continue, inshallah, the hadith now.